Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding to look ahead to Tipperary's card on Friday evening. Seven races to get our teeth stuck into and hopefully bag you a winner or two. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Morning. Yes, I'm pretty good. Thanks, Alex.
Good. Good to hear. As I said, we've got a seven race card here of, differing quality, shall we say. We've got a good listed race at 7:05, a couple of maiden races, and then some pretty tight sort of handicaps, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, yeah. Quality is very much sort of top-heavy. The front end of the card up to the 7:05 is where the real decent action happens. And then, yeah, it does taper off a bit somewhat towards the end of the card, but that's where we get the value in the tricky handicaps.
Yeah, OK. Well, we'll kick off with the 5:35 then. It's a maiden over 5 furlongs. They go without number one here. Aggression will not be going to post. That leaves 7 of them, which is a little unfortunate for some each-way punters, but Simply a Star heads affairs at 10 to 11 at the time of recording for Aidan O'Brien and Shamie Heffernan. Has looked, well, certainly boasts the best form, Andy, but has looked a little frustrating of late.
Yeah, that's a fair enough comment, really. I mean, she has been in very deep, and if you actually strip down those runs and you look at them a little bit more with a little bit more in-depth, you will notice that she's been running in some very fast times. So I don't actually think she's done a great deal wrong in being defeated on her last 4 starts. Second to Queen Nefertiti in a good race at Leopardstown, which has worked out well. The horse that beat her at Leopardstown, Please Shock, Jim Bolger, thinks the world of that horse. Accepted Tommy Stack's horse, beat her here last time out in a listed race. That was midway through July. And she was really unlucky the other day when she was sent off second favourite in a race that was run at Nace, and they went an absolutely phenomenal gallop that day, and this Simply a Star was one of those responsible at that pace, and A&EP picked them off late on. An unraced horse of Joe Lyons is recording one of the fastest 5 furlong times I've got for 2-year-olds this season. So I just think she's really been unlucky. I don't think there's anything, any malice in her at all, or any negative sort of vibes I'm getting. All I'm suggesting is she's just running to a very high standard, and she just keeps bumping into one, as the phrase goes. If she runs anywhere near the level that she's done so far, I think she'd be good enough here. Folklore is obviously held by Simply a Star off that run in Tipperary in that listed race, and she's second favourite. And then you've got Spirit of Wales, who comes from a lowly Bellystown race. So, you know, they've got plenty to find, and this is a golden opportunity for tonight, and hopefully Aidan O'Brien's filly won't miss the open goal.
OK, then, Simply a Star, the pick in the 5:35. Next up is the 6:05. It is a listed contest over 5 furlongs. Russian Soul is the market leader. I know that's a horse that you're quite a fan of, Andy, but this won't be easy. It's a pretty competitive race.
Yeah, I do like Russian Soul. He's a very game and admirable type, and he's earned that rating of 111, probably courtesy of many good runs over in Maidan in the grouped contest. He actually took part in a Group 1 on his last start in the desert, and he didn't disgrace himself either. He just had the one run so far this season. It came when he was run up behind Darwin, who'd had the advantage of a previous run. But that was a good return for Mickey Halford's 6-year-old, and I think they're now looking to crack on with him for the rest of the season. He's usually got a very good cruising speed, and because he stays 6 furlongs, he obviously sees out this trip really well. He's won here before as well, which is obviously worth noting. So when he's dropped back to 5 furlongs, he can cope with that. And, you know, he's looking to try and retain his crown from last year. This is the victory, of course, that he took on board before going over to Dubai. So he's definitely the one to beat. However, I do think Sir Maximilian will give me plenty to think about here. he's got a little bit to find on the official ratings, but I think his handicap mark should be slightly increased, courtesy of that run in the Stewards' Cup the other day, which was of a very high standard. Of course, it went the way of Intrinsic, but basically that was a group contest masquerading as a handicap, because I think the winner's a group horse. I think the third is definitely a group horse, Alban Star. Horses like Discussion to Follow, Ninjago, were all involved in that finish. That was probably the hottest sprint of its kind this season. Sir Maximilian ran an absolute blinder in finishing at seventh, only getting beaten three lengths. That was over a trip which probably just about stretches his stamina and well. He's very much at home over a sharp five furlongs, and the time before puts him actually well clear on my speed figures if he runs up to that level again. The last time that he contested a race in Ireland, he ran out a comfortable winner, beating the very speedy Caspian Prince quite readily in the end. He got a strong pace to run at that day, and he was really good. I'd imagine that they'd go quite quick here as well, the several front runners in this race, Abstraction and My Good Brother. They like to force the issue and should set it up for the closers, and Sir Maximilian, like the favourite Russian Soul, will be benefiting off a strong gallop, and hopefully he might just have a little bit of a fitness advantage over Mickey Halfordshard. So Sir Maximilian the vote in the listed Abergorn Stakes.
OK, Sir Maximilian the pick there in the 6.05. Next up is the 6.35. It's a handicap over five furlongs. One thing for sure here, Andy, they won't be lacking for speed.
No, a lot of horses that like to force the issue are got the baton ready firmly in their hand, and Tillery Wonder, Calm Bay, Above the Law, three that we've just mentioned there, they're all very speedy out the gates and they like to trap along. So you probably want something that's just going to sit in off the pace here and come through late on. And Lady Meagher, the favourite here, fits the bill. Hopefully she'll get a chance to show what she can do again this evening. I don't think she's done a great deal wrong in the last two or three starts. That run behind Due Diligence back in Nice in May has been well advertised subsequently. She just got into bad track position last time out. She didn't get a clear as to runs when involved in that race won by Sir Maximilian. Of course, we get a chance to look at that form half an hour earlier in the listed race, but I'm pretty sure that'll hold up. And I thought Lady Meagher was probably second best horse on that occasion. Don't think she would have beaten the winner, but had she not met trouble in running, I think she probably would have finished second. She was at the handicap that day, so obviously had a little bit on her plate. But this is more in keeping with what she's capable of. A 0-85 handicap rather than a 0-105. That makes a big difference, that class drop, and she should be able to bully these horses late on. So Lady Meagher representing a yard that can do little wrong in the sprint department this season. Hopefully we'll get back on track in that five furlong handicap.
Okay, next up is the 7.05. It's a listed contest over 7.5 furlongs. East India, very popular this morning, in at 8-11 at the time of recording for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien. Tom Belaine, 15-8 for Dermond Weld and Lee Rush, and 7-1 the field. So the market suggests it's between the two of them, Andy. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah. I don't really fancy much else. Cocoon was disappointing down in Galway. Convergence got readily bushed aside, but he did get beat by Glen Eagles and Tom Belaine the other day, so I'd expect Tom Belaine to hold the form up. But I do quite like East India's run down in the Curra. It was a race that was dominated by several of the fancied horses in the race, and this was Aidan O'Brien's second string and he came through quite well, so the fact that he managed to win when he wasn't particularly strongly fancied shows that there's likely improvement to come, and that we're going to get the best of him as the season progresses. It's a race that Aidan O'Brien has farmed in the last few seasons. He won it last year with Indian Maharaja, and he's got plenty of good two-year-olds as well to get a benchmark off, so the fact that he brings this horse here from the embarrassment of riches he's got suggests that he thinks he could be good enough. I like the way he went through that race at the Curra. Don't think he'll have any problems with the ground or the trip today, and the track should suit him as well. I'd just about slightly fancy him over Tom Belaine and pretty much agree with the way the market's priced this race up. It does look a match, and hopefully East India, just given normal improvement, will win his second race in two consecutive starts.
OK, next up is the 7.40. It is a filly's maiden over 7.5 furlongs. The market very much focused on one here, John Ox's Looper, 13-8 at the time of recording. Everything else backable at an each-way price. Which way are you going to go with this one, Andy?
Yeah, this is the race I'm probably least convinced about from a tipping stroke betting perspective. I think the front two in the market are fairly vulnerable through different circumstances. I'm not totally convinced with that Looper form down in Ferry House the other day. It was won by Cape Clear Ireland, who was a 1-5 favourite, but he just about scraped home. And subsequent performances of the winner and several others in that race have let the form down quite considerably. So even though Lupa ran okay in that race in the first time, Hood, I don't think she's absolutely crying out to be back here at 13-8, given the weakness of that Fairy House form. Fields and May, I thought, ran a really nice race down in Galway at the festival last week, showing a good deal of ability throughout that contest. It was quite a warm race as well, won by Legatissimo. And Fields and May just drifted through the field to end up finishing fifth, but it wasn't a bad effort, as I said. But she's drawn Thrall 16 here, which is a real coffin box here at Tipperary on the round track. You don't want to be that far out wide, so it slightly puts me off tipping her each way. Otherwise, I would have gone with her if she had a low draw. So I'm going to take a bit of a punt on one which caught the eye in a Roscommon Maiden, which has worked out really well, of course, in the shape of Lucy Ray. And Jack Naylor, who's won that race down in Roscommon, has subsequently gone on to win a Red Hot Group 3 race in the interim. I think that form's pretty good. And Lucy Ray certainly wasn't knocked about, just missed the break, got behind, and then did some good late work without actually being unduly punished. And a lot of Davy Watcham's fillies improved for the run, so I'm hoping the same trait will follow here. And she's available to back around about 14, 16 to 1 this morning. As I say, I'm not getting overly carried away, but you know that kind of horse at that kind of price is certainly worth a small interest.
Okay, the penultimate race on the Tipperary card is the 8-10. It's an apprentice handicap over 7.5 furlongs. And all the money coming this morning for Anna Queen. Tony Martin trains, Tom Madden rides, and we often see money for Tony Martin horses in races like this. They usually win off the back of it as well. We've also seen money for these connections before. 9-4, though, is a bit short now, Andy. Are you going to be siding with the money, or are you going to look for some each-way value?
Yeah, I probably will look for a little bit of each-way value, but that doesn't mean to say that I'm not putting anyone off Anna Queen. She's yet to win in 11 starts, but I'm pretty sure those set of stats will be eroded very sooner rather than later. She was a real eye-catcher last time out down in Down Row. It was a race that was won by Fixit, who has plenty of experience and went into the race quite strongly fancied. Right first was second, and she ran right up to her form. But back in third, creeping into the frame in the latter stages, was Anna Queen, who came from an absolute country mile back. I think she was actually last with about 2 furlongs to run. How she finished second, God only knows. And she's treading a similar path to several of Tony Martin's have this season. For instance, Artful Artist also caught the eye early on in the season in these same colours at the same track when doing some good late work before he went on a bit of a roll. So it wouldn't surprise me if the money was correct with Anna Queen. But just in case you wanted to back something at a much bigger price, maybe you want to look towards John Fitzgerald's Fugitive Motel, a five-year-old who has yet to win a race in 6 starts on the turf. But hopefully that trend will be broken in the not-too-distant future. He ran a really good race the other day in a strongly run contest won by our jock. I think he was a bit lucky that day as well, because his jockey, Ray Dawson, as he turned into the home straight, decided to race on the far side rail, and he was the only one that thought the far side rail was the best part of the track. All the other jockeys explored the much faster ground up the stand rail, often when the ground goes on the soft side at Tipperary, and that ultimately ended up costing him the race. He only got beat 2 lengths, so actually upgraded his performance. He's got a good draw again, and hopefully Robbie Downey, who takes the ride tonight, will go where the rest of the pack go. I wouldn't have thought that there'd be any issues with regard which side the jockeys are going to go tonight. So in the first time, Hood and Pieces, Fugitive Motel is the alternative each way to the short price favourite.
OK, Fugitive Motel then in the 8.10. The final race of the day is the 8.40. It is a ladies' handicap over a mile, 4 furlongs and a half. I could have probably said that better. A mile and 4.5 furlongs. Just over a mile and a half. Basically, we'll get there eventually. It is the 8.40, it's a women's race, and your eyes are immediately drawn to Nina Carberry and Katie Walsh. They've had Cottesloe and Beau Michael, respectively. But interestingly, none of those in the first three in the betting. Lily the Lioness, 5-2 favourite at the time of recording. Easter Spirit at 4-1. And Marajan at 6s. Where should we start with this one, Andy?
I think we've got to start with the favourite, Lily the Lioness. She's been in really good order in the last few months. She won here at Tipperary over the same course and distance 2 starts ago on the flat, proving that she handles plenty of cut in the ground. And if they get any showers in the Tipperary area, that'll certainly aid the chances of the 7-year-old mare, who also ran really well at the Galway Festival on a couple of occasions. She finished in the frame on both her starts at Ballybrit, rounding off her tidy piece of work for the week by finishing second to Park Ranger in a race that was littered with incidents and fallers along the way. So I think if you're looking for a solid one, she's likely to run a race more than most. However, you did mention one of those horses that he's ridden by one of the most polished jockeys in the race, Bo Michael. And even though he's a veteran nowadays at the ripe old age of 10, I still think there's life in the old dog yet, certainly on the evidence of his race the other day down in Galway. It was on the penultimate day of the meeting, and he was noted doing some really good late work in a strongly run race won by Winter Lion, who was very handily paced throughout the contest. And I think you needed to be in the first two or three that day to figure. So Bo Michael in finishing third, I certainly upgraded his performance. The way he finished off that race as well, he came home really strongly from an impossible position. I certainly think he's capable of mixing it in this type of company. He was run up the time before down in the Curragh behind Wither Hills, who absolutely bolted up that day. But he's fairly versatile, this horse. And I just think the price is around about 7 or 8 to 1. Bo Michael's worth a little small interest in what looks a trappy ladies handicap to close the card.
Okay, Bo Michael, the pick there in the lucky last. Great stuff, Andy. Thanks very much for your time once again, and best of luck with your picks on Friday evening in Tipperary.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.